Welcome to Parshas HaShavua. This week's Parsha is Va'eschanan. It's a busy week with Tisha B'Av and all that is happening, so I'm going to be a little bit more brief today, but I didn't want to leave the week without some Parsha insights. So this coming Shabbos, again, is Parshas Va'eschanan. It's also known as Shabbos Nachamu. When after Tisha B'Av, we read a special Haftorah of comfort, and it sets into motion a series of seven Haftorahs going all the way to Rosh Hashanah. Haftorahs of comfort. So just one very short thing, of course, that we learned from the beginning of the Parsha, where Moshe Rabbeinu talks about davening to go into Eretz Yisrael, and how he davened 515 times until Hashem told him to stop. And one of the ideas, Hashem told him to stop because if he keeps davening, so to speak, Hashem is going to have to give into him. And it highlights two things about davening, just important to mention about the power of tefillah, the power of davening. That number one, when we daven for something and we don't, that is important, and we know that we should be davening for it, we keep davening, we keep asking, we don't give up. Moshe Rabbeinu was going to keep going, and so should we. When we daven for something, the analogy is given from a small child. A child nudges his parent until he gets what he wants. So too, it is okay to keep davening, keep knocking on the door, until we get answered. Hashem loves our tefillahs. Hashem wants us to daven to Him. Davening is a part of connecting to Him. In fact, the word tefillah comes from the word also letoifel, to connect different pieces together. It's a Mishnaic word. And therefore, we should never underestimate our tefillah, never underestimate the power of tefillah, even if we have daven more than once. Sometimes Hashem's answer is no, but we keep going, and our job is to keep davening and keep connecting to Hashem through our tefillahs. One of the also things we have in this week's parasha, of course, is the repetition of the Aseres Hadibros, of the Ten Commandments, where Hashem sort of where Moshe Rabbeinu was recounting the story of Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah and the Ten Commandments. After the Ten Commandments is the Aseres Hadibros is spoken about in this week's parasha. The pasuk says, "Es hadavarim ha'ela," these things Hashem spoke to you. He spoke to the entire congregation on the mountain. B'toicha esh, from fire, the cloud, the thick cloud, and so on. And then it says, "Koil godol v'lo yosof," a great voice, a big voice, Hashem's voice, in other words, that did not stop. Did not stop. So the Medrash in Shmos Rabba brings an interesting thing. It talks about three interpretations of what this means, koil godol v'lo yosof, a big voice that did not stop. One thing is, says the Medrash, that means it was one voice, then split into seven voices, which split into the 70 languages. In other words, the voice of Hashem did not remain in Lashon Kodesh, not remain in the holy tongue of Hebrew, but it actually came down, it was expressed and manifested and revealed, and divided up into the 70 languages. That's the first pshat. The second is, Kol Godol V'lo Yosof, it was a voice that didn't stop, which meant, Shemimenu Nisnabu Kol Hanavim, that from this voice, all the other voices of the Navim, of the prophets, prophesied. And by extension, as it explains in different Medrash, that it also continued on through the various wise people, the Talmidei Chachamim, and the Torah teachers of every generation. Third pirush is that it, Kol Godol, what does it mean? It was a big voice, that it was a voice without an echo. Normally, if you have mountains around, as was the case in Har Sinai, the voice will bounce off mountains and there'll be an echo, but the voice of Hashem with Matan Torah had no echo. So obviously, the obvious question is, what is the purpose? What does this Medrash mean? What is it telling us, and what's the lesson we can learn from that? So a little bit out of order, but let's go through what the Medrash is telling us, something very deep. First of all, we know that Matan Torah was a very powerful experience. The Gemara says, when Hashem said, "Anoichi Hashem Elokecha," I am Hashem, your God, the word "Anoichi" is an acronym for Ano Nafshi Ksovis Yehovis. Hashem said, I wrote myself into the Torah. In other words, when Hashem revealed the Ten Commandments, He revealed the Torah. He is inseparable from the Torah. He is in the Torah, which is why when we learn Torah, we connect to Hashem. The Torah is not just a human logic, not just a intellectual subject, like a human subject with human intellect. The Torah is Seichel Eloki, it's divine intellect, and it's an intellect which has Hashem, so to speak, embedded in the Torah. Which is why when we learn Torah, we have to first of all have humility, we have to understand the holiness which is in the Torah. It's not just an intellectual pursuit, an intellectual exercise, but it's actually something we are submitting to and we are surrendering to and trying to understand. Hashem gave us the gift of trying to understand Hashem's intellect, and through that actually grasping and connecting and bonding with Hashem himself. So one could possibly have a mistake and to understand and to think that this is something which refers only to the Ten Commandments. It refers only to the words which Hashem actually spoke at Har Sinai. Says the Pasuk, according to the Medrash, no. Kol Godel V'lo Yosef. It was a very big voice that did not stop, which means the voice continued. It continued through the prophets, it continued through the Torah teachers, it continued through the oral Torah. In other words, we need to understand that every time we open up a Sefer and we learn Torah, whether it might be Gemara or Halacha or Ethics or Hasidus or whatever we learn, which has been taught by legitimate great Torah teachers, even up until our times, if it's part of Torah and it's taught consistent with the system of Torah and the principles of Torah, it becomes part of that continuing, expanding voice that has never stopped. And every time we learn that part of that voice, we are learning Torah. We are connecting to Kedusha. We have to give it the right reverence and the right respect and the right authority, because it is a continuation of that original voice, the continuation of the voice of Torah. That's the one pshat. That's what it means. Kol Godel Yosef was a continuing voice that did not stop and expressed itself to the various prophets. Secondly, the Midrash tells us that it's split up into the 70 languages. It's split up into seven parts and then into the 70 languages. Because the purpose of Torah is not just to remain by us, it's not just to remain with the Jewish people. The purpose of Torah and the learning of Torah is to elevate the entire world. Which is why we find that Torah, Hashem gave the ability for Torah to be translated into various languages. Not just a practical concept, it's a spiritual concept as well. We know, of course, that we have the language of Lashon Kodesh, which is the holy tongue, which is on a much higher level than all other languages. But the other languages are languages which Hashem created as well, and they represent worldliness, they represent the world and what the world expresses. And therefore, when we translate Torah and we teach Torah, and we translate it and we even bring it into the other languages, we are elevating the world beyond the limited, beyond just the parameters of holiness itself, but we are taking Torah out of the parameters of holiness and expanding it to the entire world to elevate and to bring Kedusha to the entire world represented by the 70 languages. And this is the second idea of what it's meant, a big voice that did not stop. Thirdly, the Medrash says that the voice had no echo. What does an echo mean? An echo means when the voice travels, we know sound travels, and hits a barrier that does not absorb the voice, and as a result, the voice rebounds off the mountain or off the wall and creates some sort of echo. The purpose of learning Torah, one can learn Torah in two ways. We can learn Torah where the Torah is not fully internalized, not fully absorbed and internalized to become one with us and become who we really are. And that would be the pshat of learning Torah as an echo, which means we learn the Torah, the voice reaches us, but it doesn't become fully absorbed. When Hashem gave the Torah, Kol Godel V'lo Yosef was a limitless voice, a big voice. It did not stop, says the Medrash, the third pshat, that there was no echo. Echo means that it was absorbed within the world. The purpose of Torah is not that it remains something separate to our world, in other words, that we have two compartments to our world. We have us, the physical human being with our physical pursuits, and we also have the Torah. The purpose of Torah is to connect the two together, that the Torah that we learn becomes fully absorbed in who we are. It becomes part of our identity. It becomes our identity. Our identity not only in our spiritual part of our life, but it becomes our identity in everything that we do is imbued and absorbed with Torah, that our whole life becomes one of expressing the Torah's will, the Torah's wisdom, and living a life fully according to the Torah's principles because we've absorbed and internalized the Torah completely. This is the lesson of these three ideas of the voice that did not stop. I want to just very quickly add something to do with Tisha B'Av and to do with Nachamu, the comfort that we have after Tisha B'Av. Just the Gemara I recently learned, it's a Gemara at the end of Moed Katan, where the Gemara discusses the laws of mourning, and the Torah says, the Gemara discusses about mourning not only for one's parents, but one's teacher, and it learns it out from the mourning that Elisha Hanavi did when Eliyahu Hanavi departed from this world. We know the story, Eliyahu Hanavi didn't die the normal way, Eliyahu Hanavi continues to live, but he was walking with Elisha, his student, and then a chariot of fire came down from heaven and he ascended heavenward. And of course, we know Eliyahu Hanavi reveals himself in different ways, in different times and so on. But when that happened, Elisha fell to the floor, tore his garments and screamed and cried, Avi, Avi, my father, and so on, all the descriptions that explain in Tanakh. And the Gemara says, and this is a source of mourning for one's great Torah teacher. And the Gemara asks the question, but Eliyahu Chayhu, Eliyahu is still alive. So what are we talking about mourning for someone that dies or a teacher that dies? Eliyahu Hanavi is still alive. And the Gemara answered, yes, he's still alive, but Elisha could no longer see him, and therefore the mourning was appropriate. And I think the Gemara is bringing out two amazing things. And it's got to do with the whole Beis HaMikdash and the Golus and the Geula, which we look forward to, b'mheira b'yameinu. And that is, on the one hand, we have to know Eliyahu Chayhu. When the Beis HaMikdash, Eliyahu is still alive, which means when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, we know that only the physical part of the Beis HaMikdash was missing, but actually the Beis HaMikdash continues to be eternal. There's a spiritual Beis HaMikdash, there's the Beis HaMikdash Shel Maila, the concept of the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is an internal concept that was temporarily removed from us, and that strengthens our emunah, that actually it's not something that's lost, it's something that will be again, it's something that will be re-revealed to us in a greater form with greater strength. On the other hand, while we don't have it, we have to mourn. That's why we had a Tisha B'Av. Because, yes, Eliyahu Chayhu, Eliyahu is still alive, but Elisha couldn't see him, so he mourned. So on Tisha B'Av, and then following Tisha B'Av, we strengthen our emunah in the coming of Mashiach. That we mourn the destruction because we can't see the Beis HaMikdash. But we mourn it in for something that is not lost. We mourn it for something that is still there, just we can't see it. And therefore, that brings, it strengthens our desire for it and our belief that it will be re-revealed to us. And that's a different type of crying. When you cry for something that's lost, that's a cry of despair. When you cry for something that is still around, just you can't see it, it's a cry in anticipation. It's a cry with an urgency to believe and to ask and to strongly ask from Hashem to give it back to us because it is still there and we want to see it. And in Mirtz Hashem, that is Shabbos Nachamu, where Chazal, the Novi tells us, Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, be comforted, because we know that the removal of the Beis HaMikdash is a temporary thing. We cannot lose hope, even though it's been so long, but we believe by Munna Shlema that actually it's eternal. It was only temporary, removed from us. Eliyahu Chai, it's still alive. We just need to see it back so we don't have to mourn any longer. And in Mirtz Hashem, we'll see the Beis HaMikdash very soon. Bimhera b'yomeinu. Have a good day and a good Shabbos.